Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Knicks last night with a nice effort against the Suns at home, second of a back-to-back, but mainly Jalen Brunson being back is the story. I'm excited about this because it is the perfect storm of where you wanted this team to be going into the postseason. Five games to go, and they are at their healthiest right now. Brunson back in the fold. Mitchell Robinson is there. OG Anunoby taking his game to another level. Bridges had some time to, you know, show a little bit of an impact. I love the bench is starting to show itself a little bit. Mm-hmm. Campaign McBride. I'm excited about where the Knicks are at right now at their healthiest with just five games to go in the regular season.
When was the last time this year you heard me talk about me being excited about the Knicks?
It's never.
It's been since the start of the season.
Yeah.
You know, if you follow the show, you know I've been down on this team. I'll put quotes around down. Obviously, it's all relative to the increased expectations, yeah, for sure. Hey, by the way, one thing I'm not going to do, I'm not going to gloss over back-to-back 50-win seasons, which is what these Knicks have done.
Yep.
That is a nice accomplishment. The last time they did that from 91-92 through 94-95, Knicks were obviously in the finals in 94-95. They had four straight 50-win seasons. I think it was five out of six. So this doesn't happen that often. I don't want to minimize it. That was never my intention. I am excited about the Knicks. Not where I'm changing my perspective on who they are today, but for the first time, I'm as hopeful as I've been in a while. And I think this week, and you laid out a lot of the reasons why, but I'll take it a step further. The opponents this week are very interesting and very much can be a springboard into a nice run if they stay healthy and play well. Tomorrow night's Celtics game, I'm into this one. Now, the Celtics have won 9 of 10. We all know the story. Knicks can't beat the Celtics. Knicks can't beat the Cavs. Knicks can't beat the Thunder. Okay, great, fantastic. I want to see a win. Is it too much to ask for the Knicks to win once?
Now, Clyde was saying last night that the Celtics might be resting their play. I don't know if they're going to happen, if they're going to do
well,
that or not.
Well, then they better beat them.
Okay, so, well, would that even mean anything to
you? Wouldn't mean as much, obviously. Okay. Of course, it takes some of the steam away from what I'm saying here. But if they roll out their usual starting five and their key reserves, then I think that's a nice place to gain some extra updated measurement on these Knicks, because I do think the bench is healthy. Obviously, Brunson's back. Obviously, Mitch has been back. He played massive minutes yesterday, but he's back. And then after that, it's at Detroit. All right. In all probability, that is going to be the Knicks' first-round opponent.
Still tight between them and Milwaukee. There's only a game separating the Bucks and the Pistons.
Good job on that, because I was focused more on, I knew it was in the neighborhood. I didn't know if it was one or two, whatever. Good job. But the Knicks are three up on the Pacers. So the Knicks obviously are locked into the three spot. Less about who they will play in the first round.
Correct. I think the Knicks are going to be locked into the three. Their magic number might even, they said it was two last night during the game. I don't know if that was counting the win.
I don't think they would have counted that.
So then it's probably one now after the Knicks win. I don't know if they're locked in officially, but the Knicks are going to get the third seed. I mean, the Pacers aren't going to be able to catch them. So, and then you look at the 5-6 right now. It's the Bucks at 44-34, and the Pistons at 43-35. So only one game separating them, and they're not going to fall out of that. It's either going to be the Bucks or the Pistons in the first round.
Who would you rather play? I think I'd rather play the Bucks.
I was going to say the same thing. Probably Milwaukee. I feel like on paper, you would think Milwaukee might be the more dangerous team because of some of the talent, because of the star power, because of the experience.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going the wrong way, whereas the Pistons could be a dangerous, you know, younger.
I do, too.
Although I still think the Knicks are taking either out. I really do believe that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if the Knicks don't get out of the first round, it is an unmitigated, unforgivable, unacceptable result. I mean, at that point... At that point, you're going to have to find a new coach. You have to win the first round.
There was another stat that they were saying last night during the game, too, that Tibbs has had, I think, clinched home court 4 of the 5 years or something like that.
In terms of first round?
Yeah.
That's nice. I mean, so not only is he getting to the playoffs, he's actually securing.
Which they used to do all the time. That was a thing in the 90s. It was an automatic to have home court in the first round.
God. I'll tell you, though, back to the question about the Bucks or the Pistons.
Yeah.
I never liked the idea of playing a young, clearly ascending team that has nothing to lose, and that's the Pistons. In a lot of ways, that's like when the Knicks, and you should remember this based even, I don't think you were too young. Yeah, you remember this. Remember when the Knicks went into Philly years ago, and they swept the Sixers, and Ewing, and Mark Jackson, and Gerald Wilkins, and I think maybe Sidney Green or Johnny Newman, they grabbed a broom from the custodial, and they actually walked across the court, and they, like, to symbolize, we just swept you. Like, that was a young Knicks team that had no fear, no expectation. I don't really want to see that. I'd rather play the Bucks. I would rather play the Bucks, who are going in the wrong direction, than the Pistons, who would be a problem for a long time.
All right, so now let's further it to the big picture here, something we've been discussing all year long, but now we're so close we could almost taste it.
I cannot wait. It's coming.
While I'm watching that game last night, I'm thinking, here we go.
It's coming. Yeah, I'm excited.
So now, and they were talking about this again during the broadcast, but it's been the main story throughout the course of the year, the Knicks have dominated the lesser opponents. The Knicks have failed against the best of teams.
Yeah.
Do you feel any differently now? And I ask you specifically because you were the one who was doubting what this team can do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel any differently now, them being at their healthiest, you know, potentially taking a chance at, let's say, the Celtics in round two?
No.
So you think there still is that ceiling there?
I don't feel better about it, but I'm not banking on this. Like, I'm hopeful that there will be an increased focus. See, let me just take a step back.
Good God, the Thunder have won 64 games.
Dude, they're ridiculous.
And they lost two straight.
And they got a couple to go, too. The thing that's been very dissatisfying and, quite frankly, boring about this Knicks season is that we knew very early, the way the Cavaliers started and the Celtics as well, that the Knicks were never going to be the top seed in the conference.
Right.
We knew that by Christmas, locked in. Not going to be one, not going to be two. And we were also locked in like, all right, they're not going to be 6 or 7. So we kind of knew where they would be. And there's been so many months of basketball. I'm talking first from the way I've consumed it where, you know, I don't want to say that I haven't approached the Knicks season with the same vigor. Well, maybe I haven't, actually, because I have become, last year I wasn't this way because it was new. I have become very, almost fixated on what's around the corner for the Knicks. And if I have done that, I'm going to leave the door slightly ajar that maybe they have done that. Hmm. And they are humans. They're not robots, all right? And they play a lot of minutes, and Tom Thibodeau grinds them out to a little nub. So why I'm a little more hopeful, not confident, but hopeful, that there is maybe another step that I haven't seen all year and haven't said that they have all year, is that the focus and the intensity of the moment could rise to meet the moment. I think they're capable of that.
Me too, and I'm more excited about the idea of everybody finally being back healthy.
Yeah.
That, to me, is something that we have not seen all year long. If Mitchell Robinson was out the majority of the year, then when he comes back, Brunson goes down. So now I want to see it
OG missed time as well.
Now I want to see it all together. And by the way, OG,
he's been great.
Dude. So remember, last year, my thought with him last year was when the Knicks had all these injuries was he's not that type of scorer. He's got his game, which is great. He's going to be an elite perimeter defender. He's going to be an elite three-point shooter, knockdown. He has taken a huge step this year in being a better, well-rounded scorer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Their talent level, good God, their talent level is off the charts. Even Karl Anthony Towns is looking like he's ratcheting up a little bit here as we go down the home stretch. I just don't know if it's going to be enough with this group, with the lack of defensive fight that we've seen from, you know, more recently last year's Knicks team, is it going to be enough? Their talent combined with whatever defensive effort that they get ratcheted up in the postseason with Mitchell Robinson back specifically, is that going to be enough to compete at the highest of levels against, really, we're talking about two teams, Celtics and the Cavs, maybe even just one team, the Celtics, because if you compete with them, now you're in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yes, my gut still says no, because I go back to my core principle here. I think anytime your two best players are your two worst defensive players, you got a problem in terms of winning a championship. Now, you could still win, you know, 52, 53, 55 games like the Knicks will here. Well, they'll be maybe not 50. Well, they can't win 55. There's only four more to go.
Well, there's only four
to go.
I
thought there was four to go. They finish up with the Nets. So it's the Celtics at Detroit, the Cavaliers, and the Nets.
Maybe they were counting last night.
Okay. So either way, they're going to win. Even if they win one or two, they already won 50. So let's leave it at that. You can do that in the regular season. A lot of bad teams out there. The travel, if you play with any speck of enthusiasm or pride, you're going to be able to grind out wins in the NBA. We've talked about that. Goes back to Tom Thibodeau's first season here. But I still think that dynamic with Bridges, with Karl Anthony Towns and obviously Jalen Brunson being inferior defensive players, that's a big problem. That's not a championship recipe. The other thing, too, is just, listen, we defensive presidents, damn tough.
Yeah.
They don't have enough dogs. Bridges is not a dog. Bridges is a little poodle at this point. He's not a Rottweiler who's going into Boston and, you know, doing his thing. And I'm sorry.
You don't think he's got it in him at all?
I think he's got it in him to have a couple of good games. Yes, because he's a talented player. His defense has stunk this year. I don't know what the hell happened to his defense.
Yeah.
And the other problem here is, you know, I never thought that Karl Anthony Towns was a Rottweiler. That was always the knock on him. But he's even less rot than I thought. You think he goes the way he's played against Boston and the Cavs? I mean, most of the games, not all the games, but I don't see him being that defensive demon, that dominating player on the road, even at the Garden, pivotal game against an elite team. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think Cat's a dog.
Yeah, well, I think he can be a dog offensively, not defensively, and there better be another level to all those guys' game come the postseason. We know Hart, we know Brunson, we know OG.
Bridges,
know,
I've got no problem. I love Bridges. No problems with him. I've got. But here's the thing. I'm not Bridges. I'm sorry. McBride.
Okay.
I don't think you can be a dog. Like you just said, well, he's a dog offensively. If you're not a defensive player, I don't think you're a dog at all.
Okay.
Like, you know, just my opinion, like you can be a very elite three-level scorer, which he clearly is. You know, he possesses guard skills.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's soft. I'm not saying that. To me, there's a very fine line being soft and not being a dog. He's not soft. He's not the guy that you run out of it or jog out of a tunnel with in a pivotal game where I'm like, that guy's good for 30, that guy's good for 15 rebounds, that guy's good for two or three hard fouls, that guy's good for the work required to win a championship. I don't think he's that guy.
And I do think we're going to learn a little something here these final four games, because now that Brunson's back, they got Mitch back, aside from just getting those guys conditioned and ready to go for the postseason, whether the Celtics are fully dressed and going out there playing hard or not is irrelevant to me, because you know the Knicks will. I think they're going to put the pedal to the metal, I would assume, for the most part, if not all four of these games, at least three ahead of the Brooklyn game.
Yep.
And we should find out a little something as Tibbs is going to push them, similar to what Pitino did. And Tibbs does this all year long anyway, but I mean, now it really should be ratcheted up, especially with everybody back in place. But Pitino coaching St. John's during the regular season for the tournament, I think you're going to see that these final three games at least, if not all four.
Yeah.
Hey, this is the playoffs to us. Let's go out there and show some toughness and see what these guys are made of before the actual postseason starts.
I hope so. I hope at this point of the season, you know, Tom Thibodeau doesn't have to even intimate that. I would hope that it was more within the team, which I don't think it is to the degree that you need to compete for a championship. But I'll tell you this. I'm happy in this regard. Like, maybe 1/8 in the other direction or, you know, whatever. Jalen Brunson's out the season, you know, at least for the first round. So,
and he looked good last night.
He did. And he played 34, 35 right, minutes, you know. Jeez, I mean, talk about in these him in.
But it wasn't like they were faking it and trying to work him
no,
back.
No, I never done that. If anything, right. I thought maybe last night, maybe you just run him out there for 22, 24 minutes and incrementally build him up. I don't think that they milked it. I think that he was legitimately banked up. So the Knicks without Jalen Brunson, like if that would have been a grade 3 strain, then the Knicks, I don't think, would have any chance to do anything. Let's not forget one thing. When the lights get, and I maybe doesn't seem it this way, lights get brighter, that kid's a dog, and we got him.
BT, it's Al on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Steve is in Flushing. What's up, Steve?
Guys, good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up?
What's up, Steve?
Hey, listen, I was looking at the records, and I did see a couple of games myself this year. You better hope the Knicks take on the Bucks in the first round, because they haven't beaten the Pistons at all so far. And to me, that game coming up against Detroit is probably the most important game to watch, because, listen, if you want to give away the game just so you can move them up to the 5 seed, so you take on Milwaukee at the 6 seed, be my guest, because you have all the size.
No, well, hold on, Steve, hold on. And I'm not trying to cut you off. Hold on, Steve. Wait, Steve, hold on.
Steve,
all right. Be my guest. What kind of mindset is that? To avoid the Pistons?
You want to take on a young upstart team? You lost to the Pacers last year. That's what the Pistons are.
Well, they lost because they were hurt.
The team you should have beat last year in the second round. You don't want to take on a team like that.
They got hurt. The Knicks were banged up, Steve. What are you, a Pistons fan?
I think he's a Knicks fan.
No, I'm a realist.
Oh, realist, and the Knicks should be running from the Pistons?
That's crazy talk.
You don't really think
the Knicks are going to go all the way? They don't have a consistent three-point shooter like they have DiVincenzo. They've got just size.
Steve, DiVincenzo was not a consistent three-point shooter. And thank you for the call. BT and I, we could argue that all you want. That was part of my issue with him is he's not consistent. The Knicks have scoring up the wazoo right now. And you're worried about DiVincenzo? His toughness, defensive intensity, that's a different story.
And his penchant for making big shots.
I mean, even then.
It's one thing to be an efficient shooter, another thing to have the stones to take him and make him, and he made a lot of them.
Yeah, but I'm not
they
worried. I'm not worried about
that. But they moved on. Listen, we disagree.
But look at all the guys that they can knock down big shots right now.
That's a dog. Yeah. That's a back alley dog.
Yeah, okay, but he doesn't have a fraction of the talent that the other guys have.
But they have enough talent in other spots. But he's not, you know what? He's not even here, so whatever. Right. I love DiVincenzo. I love Hartenstein. Everybody knows that. I just feel like the DNA is different this year, and that's okay.
It is, but for him to use the example of the Pacers last year and bring up DiVincenzo, those to me are two bad examples. The Knicks lost to the Pacers last year because they were ravaged by injury.
OG and Brunson and Mitch.
And by the way, the Pistons could beat the Knicks in the first round. We're both just saying that. I don't think that they will, but even if they do, you're not running from the Pistons. You're not trying to lose games to set up a first-round matchup. I mean, what are we doing here?
Well, that's why I jumped on him. Yeah. I'm totally with you. I mean, hold on. So let's get this straight. So you got Jalen Brunson, all-star, first team, second team, whatever it is. You got OG. We know what he does. You give up 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges. You got Karl Anthony Towns, one of the great 3 scorers of his generation in terms of shooting and having the guard skill for a big man. And you are worried. You might flush a game to avoid the Pistons. I mean, the fact that, and I don't think that Steve's the only one who thinks that. Now, I think it's a ridiculous thought.
I think that
there's a decent amount of Knicks fans who hear that, who know that the Pistons are a worse matchup than the Bucks are. And I agree with that, but I'm not looking to manipulate the last 4 games to avoid the... It's not like Isaiah Thomas and Dennis Rodman and Bill Rampier and what's his name? And John Sally and Joe Dumars and Chuck Daly and Vinnie Johnson shooting daggers off the bench. What? Avoid the Pistons?
Yeah, come on.
I mean, if that's the case, if that's the fear, these guys are never going to win anything.
Yeah, and that's not. There's no way the Knicks would want to avoid the Pistons in the first round. And I also think that while we say, it's a better matchup, I'd rather take on Milwaukee, it's not by a significant margin in my mind. I think the Knicks are beating both anyway. I'll take my chance against the Pistons. I mean, please. If the Knicks lost in the first round,
dude,
that is a disaster.
Would you fire Tom Thibodeau?
I think that's going to be the conversation. I still would not, but
you
I think
wouldn't
that's
after a first round. I'd have to.
I would not.
I said that a while ago. Yeah. I'd have to.
I mean, I want to see what goes on, but I would think it'd be more on the players than the coach. I would put it this way. If they did fire him, at least I'd somewhat understand. Here's why I wouldn't. Who's going to be better? You're just going to say, well, the results of this is unacceptable. You underachieved for the first time. And now what? You're going to fire him for who?
That's where I try to make a trade for Spoelstra. Not that Miami would do it, but something like that. By the way, if I said, I know real fast here, Sal. What percentage of Knicks fans, it's just a random guess. Zoo, I want your number too, because you're a big Knicks guy. Hold on, I'm going to hear the question. What percentage right now, Sal, do you think of Knicks fans truly believe that they have a chance to win the championship? I mean a realistic chance this year.
I think probably half. I would say that much.
I think it's a lot lower. Zoo, what's your number?
I'm going to go with 50.
Yeah, now fans.
Both of you guys. I think that's high. I'm probably about 30%.
Fans aren't realistic. By the way, did the caller before say that the Pistons beat the Knicks every time they played them this year?
I think the Knicks may have beat them. I know they beat them twice at the Garden. I remember talking about one of those games in November. I'm like, what? Now, I didn't know the Pistons were going to be this good. I'm like, what the hell was that? It was like a Sunday night.
And that's a team that has sneaky talent all over the place. Young guys and veteran guys.
I know.
Yeah, but the Knicks did beat them this year, so I'm not sure what he was saying.
Did they beat them in Detroit? Over at the Caesars?
No, versus Detroit. Let me look it up here. I know they beat them once.
What are they, 1-2?
Let's see. 2 right there. I'm trying to pull the damn schedule.
Definitely lost 2 at the Garden.
I can't see
it. That's all good.
Yeah. No, the Knicks beat them. Let's see. I had it right here. Oh, no. Was it the Sixers? Anyway, I'll look it up. But no, I was getting texts saying that the Knicks did beat Detroit once, and I forgot during the regular season. I remember the bad loss, to your point, at home, because we discussed that after it happened. And I was like, it's not that big of a deal because the Knicks were banged up. But I forget the specific instance there as I try to scroll through this damn schedule and fill time here. Either way, yeah, the Knicks beat them early in the year. In Detroit.
That's what I thought. Okay.
They beat them 128-98. But again, what does that mean? Even if the Knicks did lose all the games to Detroit during the course of the regular season, I'm still not running from them in the postseason.
No, it would just give me a lack of confidence because I don't think they have anybody on the team, certainly not Jalen Brunson, who could slow down Cade Cunningham. But I think if there's a threat of like commonality, like what's the reason why the Knicks haven't matched up well with the Pistons this year? It starts with their guard. He's long.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
He's a problem.
We're going to play a soundbite from Steve Cohen, who was on, what was it called, the Big Apple podcast. It was before the season started with Howie Rose. But he addressed the idea of having an extension with Pete Alonso in season. But before that, do you think right now it is more likely that Alonso is a long-term Met? You can factor in all things that you want, whether it's the Vlad contract, his start, where the market might be, whatever.
I do.
But we didn't think that coming in.
Nope.
Yeah, I would agree because I just don't think that there's... It felt even after... Well, there was a point in the offseason where the Mets were moving on, and they thought it was inevitable. I mean, that was just a fact. It wasn't us. It was us following the Mets saying that they were moving on.
Yeah.
Then even after they signed him, there was still the thought, okay, this is great, but it's a for now thing, to your point about how many years you got to date before you got to get married here. I do feel like now more than ever, maybe it's his hot start, and maybe I'm biased to that. Maybe it is knowing that Vlad is now off the market. I don't envision a scenario now where Pete Alonso is not a long-term Met. I don't think Steve Cohen will let that happen.
The only way I could see that happening, and it's not a very strong thought, would be if he just goes absolutely bonkers, but even more than I think he's going to, opts out and holds it against the Mets for disrespect.
Yeah, but
contract.
He said he wants to be here.
I know. That's why I don't really. That's the only way. That's why I'm saying that's it.
And also, see, to me, if Steve Cohen wants something, he's going to get it. He'll give the most. Generally, obviously, he couldn't help that with Ohtani or Sasaki or Yamamoto, or whatever. But in this particular case, if Alonso's looking to get the most money and he goes in the open market and somebody says, we're going to give you $200 million, Cohen will say, okay, well, we'll give you $220 million. Like, the Mets will end up, if they really want the player, and in this case, I think they do, they are, just like they probably did even in the two-year deal with Alonso, they are going to give him the most money. The fact that Pete has already proved that he could get over the mental hurdles that might have been bothering him a year ago, to me, is a great sign. I don't know what more else they need to see, what he needs to see. I think they both want each other long term, and I just don't see a better option right now for either party.
Well, I mean, listen, Sal, sometimes things get stale in a relationship,
yeah.
And it takes an occurrence, whether it's something that you can control or not, where it reinforces, oh, okay, this is why I fell in love with so-and-so in the first place, whether it's a player or a person. And I think that a large part of the Mets fan base was done with Pete.
Right.
They were done with Pete. And when he dropped the pop-up, if you could poll every single Met fan in the world at that point, I would have to guess 90%+ said, you know what? Hey, you did some really good things. That's it.
Can't take it anymore.
We have to move on.
Right.
Can't take any more. Good for you. Good for us. Clean break. Let's go get Soto. Let's see what else we can do. And then he hit the home run. And then he played pretty well against the Phillies.
Yeah.
And that was showing signs that his approach is mirroring how he was a 260, 270 hitter with thump early
carrying
by
over,
using all fields.
Right, carrying over from that point. Like at the time, we could say, well, it was one home run, or yeah, he had a couple of good postseason series, but he's picked up where he left off with
He has.
Which is the biggest sign, I think, possible.
And I think the Mets needed to see that. Pete needed to do it, and then the Mets had to see it, and then I think since he's doing it and the Mets are seeing it, I think it leads to a longer-term relationship that I thought was broken at one point.
Because he was going the wrong way.
No question.
And now he's lifted himself up out of the, you know, abyss, for lack of a better term, as far as it pertains to the Mets. Now, listen to these comments from Steve Cohen. Remember, this is before the season,
okay.
I'm pretty sure. Right, Hoff? This was before opening day. Not right before opening day, but before the season on the podcast, the Big Apple podcast with Howie Rose, talking about Pete Alonso and a possible extension. Go ahead.
You know, we're open. You know, we're... You know, we're excited by the 25 season, and listen, I hope Pete has a tremendous season, and that would be great for the Mets, certainly great for him, and you know, hopefully, you know, that means that we can figure out a way to extend the arrangement. We'll worry about it when we worry about it down the road, but right now we're focused on the 25 season.
Okay, hearing that. Now, remember, that's before Vlad, before Pete goes nuts to start the year. Hearing that, to me, it just stamps everything that we were just talking about, where I think Steve Cohen will not let Pete Alonso go, regardless of what Stern says. Not going to get reckless,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think Steve Cohen's letting this player go.
And I don't think he's going to have to get reckless, because I still think that some of the drawbacks of Pete around baseball, the position, the age, the right-handed version, blah, 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 things we've said a million gazillion times at this point, will remain true, but I think that his value has been reinforced because internally to the Mets here. So, yeah, I think that Cohen is certainly open to that. Again, I don't know if Pete would be open to it midseason. I don't know if Scott Boras would be. But I also remember something that Cohen said last year.
Yeah.
And that was, he said, listen, I hope he hits 50 home runs. I think the quote was, I hope he hits 50 home runs and, you know, he makes a ton of money and he's a Met. Like, I think that he wants to fundamentally keep him.
Yeah.
I think he wants to fundamentally pay him, but he's not a dummy. You don't have $20 billion next to your name by handing money out and handing out freebies. You got to earn it. And Pete was going the wrong way. And now he's showing signs, and it's early, but he's showing signs he's going back the right way.
Right. I thought this, and maybe Cohen thought this too, I thought this is what Pete was going to do last year after the one down year, maybe the aberration of a bad year, going into his walk year, betting on himself, yeah, having one of those years. Obviously, he followed it up with a bad year. Then it was 2 years in a row. So I couldn't trust that he was going to bounce back.
And I couldn't fault Cohen for not going bonkers.
Correct.
Because there was 2 years of evidence there. I got a question for you. Let's say, there's no right or wrong answer. I'm curious where your mind's at with this. Let's say last year's Pete did bounce back, and Pete hit 261 with 43 home runs, 118 RBIs, OPS near 900, a really, really clear all-star, top 10 MVP, big-time season, big-time bounce back. Number one, what do you think the appetite for the Mets would have been in terms of contract length? And number two, how many teams do you think would have viewed him as a viable, crazy offseason target?
It's a great question, BT, and obviously it's a total hypothetical. I don't think it would have changed it that much. In my mind and in fans' minds, maybe more. But if I could only go based off of what I was going to do, off of two down years, and I was saying just give him $140 million, let him be a Met for the next 5 years, whatever it is, 4 or 5 years, and move on. Okay, so let's say he had a monster year last year. Maybe that goes up a little bit.
Yep.
Could it have been close to 200? But even then, from a Mets perspective, sure. Mets fan perspective, sure. But if the market is not saying that, I don't think that it would have. Because, again, his profile would not project well long-term. So I don't know. It would all depend on what the market is. I don't think the market would have changed that dramatically. More so than what he got, certainly, but I don't think to a point of getting the $200-plus million that he thought he was going to get.
I don't think it would have changed much around baseball. I think it would have changed much more around the Mets because of the value that he has inherently to the Mets. I mean, obviously, Strawberry, but more, 500, homegrown,
right,
Met,
but how
Hall
much
of Famer.
More? 5 years, 6 years?
I was going to actually say 5 years.
Okay, but so I'm still kind of there, whereas if they give him, let's say, talk an extension now in season, 5 years at $30 million is $150. So even if you give him, maybe the real way to do it would be give him 5 years on top of this 1 year at $30 million, and now you get it up to $180 total.
That's back where he was when he turned it down. That's more than Olsen. I think Olsen was $168.
Right, okay.
That's more than Olsen.
But again, I'm just throwing it out there. Yeah. If they were to do that in season now, you give him the 1 year, don't touch that, extend on top of that for 5 years, and now you're getting, it's, $30 million a year. I think Pete would certainly take that. I can't imagine him getting better than that offer, and that seems to make everybody happy. By the way, Yankees today, their game got moved. You can listen to because of the freezing weather, BT alluded to it before, you can listen to the Yankees game with coverage starting at 2:30 on 660 AM and the Odyssey app. You can hear Evan and Tiki 2 to 6:30 into the Luge Hour at 6:30. That's right here on 101.9 FM. Also catch the Westwood One. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, BT.
You
also catch Westwood One NCAA Men's Championship College Basketball game. The broadcast at 7 p.m. on both AM and FM tonight. So there you go. That's everything for later. We'll keep you updated on that throughout the course of the day. When we last left you on Friday, we were crossing paths with Evan Roberts and his son as they were getting set to go to the home opener, obviously, out at Citi Field. And then you and I talked about a BT. I didn't see this, but apparently you offered Jet. I was out of the studio already. I said hello. I said goodbye. I was out of there. You had talked to Jet Williams and Evan in studio. You want to tell, because you texted me a little bit about it, but I didn't get the whole story. You want to tell us that story there?
I feel bad for the young man a little bit, though I should probably feel bad for myself because I got played by the young man.
Yeah.
So when I think Jet's eight, when he was walking in, hey, buddy, ready for opening day? It's your first opening.
Soto jersey.
We discussed that. We thought he would have maybe Pete for, his dad or DeGrom because of dad. He's rocking the Soto 22. All right. First opening day. I think Evan's dad, this is his 51st or was his 51st. So a nice family environment. Now, I was only kidding. I said to him, I probably chatted with him a good 3-4 minutes just about baseball and what position do you play. I want to get to know him a little bit. Good kid. Seen him a few times. I want to have a real conversation. So I said, hey, as I was walking out, it was just a throwaway line. I said, I'll give you $100 if you say the Mets suck on the air.
Right.
And I will give Evan credit here. Evan's response was not what my response would be if somebody said that to my son. And maybe Evan's response is better. He said, listen, Jen, I'm not going to tell you what to do. Yeah. Like, you didn't guide him away from the possibility of maybe him doing it.
Right, like you would have said, no, come on, get the hell out of here. You can't take
it. Yeah,
that.
I would have said, called stop. $500 doesn't matter. You're a Yankee fan, you know.
Right.
The kid made up his own mind and processed on a very deep intellectual level multiple things. Now, he might not realize the magnitude of the microphone WFAN, where everybody's going to hear this, and it's now locked into perpetuity, that bite, which I think we should have, I think. Anyway, and I forgot about it. Oh, no, and then I upped the ante. I'm sorry. He said, I'm not sure. I said, what about 125? And he's like, yeah, I don't know. So I didn't think he was going to do it.
Right.
So I go home. I'm driving home. I'm listening to the show. Tiki was out. I think he's in, where is he, Morocco, Massa, wherever he is. And Maresh brought it up. And Little Jet grabs the microphone. Now, this is the brilliance of Little Jet. He said it, which means he's getting paid. Well, I owe him 125.
You have it on you?
No, because I told his dad. I said, I'm not giving it to you digitally. I'm going to hand it to the young man so he appreciates the value of a deal.
Okay. Right.
Living up to being a man of your word and then having it reciprocated. Right. I will hand that young man the money. Chris Bills at that. It's coming. But he prefaced it with, I love the Mets, .. But the Mets suck.
We haven't all said on the station at some point.
It's brilliant because, you know, by doing that, he disarms any people, you know, any dissenting voices that want to go at Little Jet is, oh, how you're a Mets fan. How could you be a sellout like that for the money? Because he says, I love the Mets. And it's very sincere and very believable. Yeah. And I know that he does. .. But the Mets suck. He's juggling two things, real life and fandom. And they don't always intersect.
Daddy's
brilliant.
His daddy said that many times before. I mean, almost any Mets fan that's been on the microphone here has pretty much said those exact words.
That's right. And probably we'll get paid for it.
Probably get paid less.
Yeah, I know.
Do we have that soundbite, Hoff? Can you look that? We don't have it anyway? Oh, they're trying to find it. Okay. Anyway, so there you go. Good for Jet. Yeah, you tag. Or no, I saw your tweet. That's what it was.
Yes.
You mentioned this to me on the way out.
And then, here? Hold on.
And then I saw your tweet saying something like, bet's a bet. I'm like, wow.
Let me see. I didn't tweet much over the weekend here, so this should be pretty easy to find. Yeah, I did tweet this. All right. This is about Little Jet. Now, by the way, is it Jet with one T or two Ts? I forgot.
That I don't know.
Here it is. So I owe young Jet Roberts $125. Kids, no dummy. Take the loot. Respect. The deal's a deal.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that Evan allowed him to say that on the air.
I was very surprised at that. It also doesn't seem to be Evan's way to be heavy-handed.
Yeah.
Although he's such a lunatic, maniacal fan, I would think that would trickle down to Jet, and he would think under no circumstance can I say that on the air. But he's also probably heard Daddy launch into a million riffs on killing the Mets, saying the Mets suck.
But now they're going to have that soundbite forever.
Yep.
Evan's son, Jet.
Yeah.
Saying the Mets
That's
suck.
That's what I feel bad about. That was not my intention. And then, of course, Loogie's hammered it. They're like, hey, you know, I forget exactly how they did it, but, you know, hey, how does Juan Soto look in a Mets uniform? The Mets suck.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
When's Manaea coming back? The Mets suck.
They
just kept throwing it in
there. It's a drop forever.
It is.
You should have Loogie or Maresh, you know, give you that $125.
Do you think I did him dirty? That was not my intention. He is a sweet boy, and I love talking to him. I was actually hoping he didn't do it.
Right.
I was just having a conversation with the kid.
Right.
And that was the last thing. I was walking out of the studio.
Yeah. No,
it wasn't like it was some mental gymnastics to make the Roberts look like fake Met fans. They're great Met fans.
And yet you got him to say this?
Mets suck.
He said it. He did say it. Let's hear it once more and see if it's really believable, if he's just looking for the loot.
Mets suck.
Seems pretty matter of fact to me.
Not bad. Good job creating the content. Now, you are, I mean, you're in the minus here. Although you get the pizza, which you paid already.
Yeah.
It was, what was it, 125? Same thing? Yeah. And now this, another 125. That's a pretty...
Well, it depends how you view it. Is it a steep price to pay if Soto hits, I don't know, 271 this year and isn't quite what maybe every Met fan thought he would be?
Yankees beat him in the regular season.
Take care of the Subway Series. Judge wins the MVP. You get that little Jet Roberts Mets suck drop. It's worth a whole lot more than 125 in my opinion.
Final question here. Did little Colt Tierney get wind of this?
He did not.
He might be coming to look for...
But he's
for a handout from Daddy. I'll say Mets suck, honey.
He's a very aggressive anti-Met fan. Every time the Mets are on...
I wonder where he gets that from.
I don't think he gets it from me. Like, he sees the Mets, and, you know, daddy's doing a job. He's like, God, the Mets. I told you this.
Yeah, no,
God,
I know.
The Mets. Now, I get it, the Soto stuff. When Soto's up, he is pissed, and he is mad, and he lets it be known. But, like, when Alonso does something, I even told him, like, you don't have to hate the Mets.
Now, if...
He hates the Mets. What do you want me to say?
If somebody, maybe Evan, were to counter and go after Colt...
Yes.
And say, all right, Colt, I got $125 for you, cold hard cash.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to need you to say, Yankees suck, right into this here microphone.
Would I let him, or do I think he would do it?
I think...
Two different questions.
Yeah, well, either.
Which one do you want me... Would I let him do it? I would watch him figure it out on his own. And if I didn't think the direction was the direction I wanted, I'm sure daddy would very subtly intervene and make sure that it didn't happen.
125 to 125 for a 10-year-old kid. I mean,
however, I don't think he'd say it under any circumstance. All daddy would have to say is, never going to a Yankee game again.
Ooh.
That's it. You know, that's it.
I think he would say
I don't. I really don't.
$125?
Yeah. He's got more than that already.
Yeah.
Dude, he had a lemonade stand. One of those, like, really nice, warm fall days.
$125? You get me say anything.
He made 175. Yeah, me too. Yeah. He made $175 with his
Mets
best friend.
I just said, I got 125. What?
Dude, he made $175 selling lemonade with his
all
best
right.
buddy.
I,
what, you know, he's not selling out on the Yanks that way. I don't know. He's also 2 years older than Jet. Maybe less manipulatable, if that's the right way to say it. I believe it is. And I don't mean that as a knock at Jet. Jet's age, you know, he's, those 2 years matter. I don't think he'd say it. And if he did, daddy better get his cut.
Huh?
And it better be a lot more than 125.
BT and Sal, all the Fan, 888-808.
And he'll be in here. But Evan will have his chance. I won't even tell my son about this.
When's he coming in?
School's over soon. He will be in, and he will say, and he's met Evan before. Evan can play it however he wants, and I will let my son make his own decision. I promise.
Maybe Uncle Sal takes over.
That's fine.
I don't know if I trust Evan to get it out of him.
I think your Sal would be a little more convincing. I think you got a little more street than Evan. So I think that will be a tougher thing to push off. But I think that the pinstripes went out.
BT and Sal, all the Fan, 888-808-1019. We're talking about the Knicks earlier. Frank is in Roseland, New Jersey. What's up, Frank?
Hello.
What's up, boys? How we doing?
Yo. Yes.
Can you guys
what's
hear me?
Yeah,
go ahead.
We're good.
I wanted to comment two things on the Knicks. You guys mentioned before, like, how many percentage of Knicks fans think they have a realistic shot at the championship. I'm a big Knicks fan. I'm realistic. It should be less than 5%. I mean, the drop-off between Boston, Cleveland, the Thunder, maybe even the Lakers, to that, like, second tier of team being the Knicks, I think that's a drastic drop-off. I don't really think they have a chance to get out of the second round. And my second point is, here's why. The lack of, like, the center position for the Knicks, losing Hartenstein and not having that, like, offensive rebounder, guy who plays at the top of the key, guy who can pass the ball, does all the things that Hartenstein did. Like, as good as and skilled as the Knicks roster is and as talented as it is, they don't have, like, they don't play Mitchell at the five to start. They play Towns at the five, and Mitchell can't play in crunch time. Like, they don't have that guy in the middle that's going to pass, that's going to offensive rebound, that's going to, like, get the loose ball. That's, like, the main – it's kind of like I'm having a hard time describing it, but that's, like, the main thing that I don't think they have that's going to, like, propel them to
toughness
compete with the upper echelon teams.
You talking about skill, toughness, or both? Probably both.
Both. I mean, it's weird because the talent level is there. Like, you go up and down the starting five and maybe, like, one or two bench guys. They're super talented, but they just don't have that, like, X factor. They don't have that – again, I think it's like the center position. They don't have the guy that can play at the top of the key that's going to be able to, like, distribute and, like, grab an offensive board.
Right, but they're built differently, and thanks for the call, Frank. And we're going to find out. We're going to find out which works. We saw what happened last year. We saw where it went. And now we're going to see a totally different iteration of this team. More talented, more skilled, maybe less tough, maybe not as, you know, not as many dogs as you would like, BT, as you said earlier.
Mm.
We're going to find out. I'll take my chances with this team versus last year's team where – last year's team may have maxed out, which I respect. You always want to max out, but they could only go to a certain level. This year's team, the fear is that they're not going to max out and underachieve, which is unacceptable on every account.
Mm.
But if they were to max out, they would be a championship team.
I think we could probably disagree on the, or throw out random guesses on the percentage of Knicks fans and their belief in this team as a championship team. I think what's probably fairly indisputable, it doesn't seem linear. Like, I think, and this usually does happen in the NBA, you take a step, you take another step, and you either crack through or you don't. I think this season, to me, and I think for many Knicks fans, it's either been lateral or it's been a half a step behind what we thought would be off of last year. Doesn't mean it can't change. I'm not feeling it right now.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Men, when was the last time you felt unstoppable? Low testosterone could be draining your energy, strength, and sex drive. At Beaumont Health and Wellness, we help men reclaim their power with hormone replacement therapy, weight loss, and IV hydration. Get peak performance with our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to fire up your system. Beaumont Health and Wellness. Age is just a number. Desire is forever. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.